Amen. Certainly, God is real. God has always been real. And God will always be real. And he is such a God that he can relate to us in the realm of reality. In reality, in this world, we are called upon to face many challenges, many difficulties. We go through many dangers, toils, and snares. But the reality of God in our lives gives us the assurance that God is with us. Gives us the assurance that God will protect us. Gives us the assurance that God will provide for us. And indeed, he will never leave us or forsake us. And for that, we are eternally thankful to God. I want to take just a moment to congratulate our newest members of the family of God. Amen. Robert and Erica Lambert. Yes. It has been my privilege to share the gospel of Christ with them in a number of study sessions. Had two sessions in their home, and we were welcomed graciously with a wonderful spirit of hospitality. And during the regular Sunday morning Bible classes, we have conducted some study sessions as well. And I want to congratulate both of you and welcome you to the family of God and welcome you to the Hart Street Church of Christ. Hart Street's heart beats with love and compassion and generosity, a spirit of caring and sharing. And I think that Hart Street has demonstrated that kind of spirit, not only to Robert and Erica, but to her father, Lester, who has visited on a regular basis, and all of the others who visit us periodically here at the Hart Street congregation. Before you leave today, be sure to take time out to congratulate Erica and Robert and to welcome them to the family of God and welcome them as our newest members of the Hart Street Church of Christ. We appreciate the influence that Brother Mason has demonstrated and exemplified in encouraging them and inviting them to come and to visit. We are thankful to Brother Mason for, as always, doing a fine job in directing our singing today. That was a brother in Gallatin I used to refer to as the Energizer Bunny of singing. But I'm going to have to replace him with Brother Darwin Mason. Brother Mason has a very fine spirit of enthusiastic zeal as he leads us in our singing. I'm likewise appreciative of Brother Larry Reese for reading our scripture lesson and for Brother Drexel Green for leading us in a meaningful, thought-provoking, practical, and comprehensive prayer. Amen. Brother Mason saying God is real. We discover the reality of God in the pages of this book, the Bible. The Bible is not the book of the month, or even the book of the year. The Bible is the book of the ages. It is unlike any other book, for we read other books, but when we open the pages of this book, it reads us. And no other book has ever had as much opposition as the Bible. People have laughed at it, scorned it, ridiculed it, made laws against it, and even burned this sacred book. Yet, despite all of the opposition leveled against it, it has outlived, outlasted, outlifted, outreached, outranked, and outblessed all other books put together. It is the living, breathing Word of God. Thank God for the Bible. It is our guide from earth to glory. It tells us how to live effectively and meaningfully and purposefully in this present world. No other book can provide that kind of guidance, that kind of enlightenment, that kind of insight. The Bible is the book. Thy word, exclaims the psalmist, is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my pathway. I commend to you the greatest book ever written. Because all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly, completely furnished unto all good works. It'll help you be a better husband, a better wife, a better daughter, a better parent, a better grandparent. It'll just help you be a better employee, a better employer, a better citizen, a better Christian, a better soul winner. Oh, this is an indispensable book. We can't do without it if we are interested in pleasing the great God of glory. Faith in this book will culminate with our eternal salvation in the realms of glory. I want to talk to you about faith this morning. The dynamics of faith. And to use the words of Brother William Proud, I'd like to talk to you about living by faith. When someone claims to have faith, what he or she may have is simple and simply intellectual assent, agreement with a set of Bible teachings or Christian teachings. And as such, it would be incomplete faith. True faith transforms our conduct and behavior as well as our thoughts. If our life remains unchanged, we don't truly believe the truths we claim to believe. What is faith? The Hebrew writer addresses this poignant question. Hebrews 11 verses 1 through 6, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We accept that by faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. And then he speaks of Enoch, one of my favorite Bible characters. He says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. God had moved him from earth to glory in a process of translation. But before his translation, and I want to emulate Brother Enoch, before his translation, he had this testimony. And I trust that you have likewise this testimony. What was his testimony? His testimony was that he pleased God. Do you please God? Do you order your life in such a way as to meet with divine approval? Enoch was concerned about pleasing God. Not so much about pleasing his friends. Not so much about pleasing his mama. Not so much about pleasing Mrs. Enoch. But Enoch was concerned preeminently and primarily, foundationally and fundamentally about pleasing the God of glory. He pleased God. And then we're told, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God wants to reward us. God wants to bless us. But we have to believe him, and we have to diligently seek him. We have to wholeheartedly endeavor to meet the approval of God by faith, following his guidance in his word. What is faith, though, on a practical level? It is not positive thinking. It is not having a hunch. It is not wishing upon a star. It is not hoping for the best. It is not self-confidence. It is not a feeling of optimism. It is not a wave magical wand. Faith simply is believing God. And we believe God because we believe his eternal word. The only way you can have faith is to know the word of God. Joseph knew the word of God. Abraham knew the word of God. Noah knew the word of God. Isaac and Jacob and Joseph knew the word of God. The word of God fuels our faith. Romans 10:17 affirms, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The blind men that Jesus encountered in Mark or Matthew chapter 9, in verse 29, he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. according to your faith be it unto you, not according to your feelings, not according to your family, not according to your finances, not according to your friends, not according to your fitness, not according to your fantasy, but according to your faith, be it done unto you. As we think about the dynamics of faith, the operation of faith, the activities that faith compels, we want to take the word faith itself and look at the individual letters composing the word faith and make a positive affirmation. Faith. First, for all I take him. What we're signifying is that the Lord will provide for all of our needs. Whatever your needs are, you can depend upon God to provide them. And by faith, we claim that promise, for all I take him. James, in James chapter 1 and verse 17 affirms and explains every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Do you realize that everything you have and that you really need comes from above? It comes down from the Father of lights. The air that you breathe, you didn't provide it. Your mama didn't provide it. Your wife didn't provide it. But it is from God. It cometh down from the Father of light. And we can't do without it. The food that we eat and are sustained by, we didn't provide it. It came and it comes down from the Father of lights. Somebody said, well, Brother Jones, I thought the food that we eat came from the farm. It does come from the farm. Those tomatoes, those cucumbers, those cabbages, those greens, those beans, those peas, the okra, the watermelon, the cucumbers, the leeks, all of our food, it does come from the farm. But you can't have any food. You can't have any green beans. You can't have any okra, any turnip greens, or any pinto beans without the God provided an orchestrated process of photosynthesis that operates within the leaves of plants and leads to the production of those turnip greens and those green beans and tomatoes and okras. And we have some farmers in here. We have some gardeners in here. The light, interestingly, the light that fuels the process of photosynthesis in food production, that light comes down from the Father of lights and sustains us. Every good gift, every perfect gift, food, air, water, everything is provided by God. And sometimes we want to live independently of God. Sometimes we want to ignore the blessings of God and our sense of belonging to him and depending upon him. Without him, we can do nothing. Describing the God of glory in contrast to the false gods invented by men. Paul speaking to the Athenians on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 25. He said, "This God is neither worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all," he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Whatever you have, the Lord bless you with it. Whatever you need, God will provide it, whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual. God makes it available to you. God provides us with our physical needs. And without that and without him, we could not survive. Philippians 4:19 affirms, "But my God shall supply," and notice this, "all your needs." Not just some, but all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But more importantly than supplying our physical needs, and he calls his sun to shine on the righteous and unrighteous, he sends the rain on the just and the unjust, not because we deserve it, not because he ought to do it and he owes it to us, but God in his grace, he provides what we need. Not just physical, however, but he provides for our spiritual needs. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." If all spiritual blessings are in Christ, that means that no spiritual blessings are out of Christ. If you're out of Christ, you don't have access to any spiritual blessings. Because all spiritual blessings are resident in Jesus Christ. Now, you might enjoy all kinds of physical blessings. You say, "The Lord has so been good to me. The Lord has given me a good job. The Lord blessed me with a good education. The Lord has blessed me with a nice home. The Lord has blessed me with good health. The Lord has blessed me with a nice car. The Lord has blessed me with all kinds of material possessions. The Lord has blessed me with many physical things." Yeah, he blesses everybody in providing for their physical needs. But you are excluded from having access to the spiritual blessings if you are out of Christ. Physical blessings? Yes. Spiritual blessings? No. All spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3, are in Christ Jesus. Salvation in Christ, acceptance in Christ, forgiveness in Christ, redemption in Christ, eternal life in Christ, status of no condemnation in Christ, the love of God in Christ, approval in Christ, triumph in Christ, victory in Christ, liberty in Christ, spiritual freedom is in Christ. Now, my question to you is, are you currently in Christ? I know Erica Lambert is in Christ because she was just baptized into him. I know Robert Lambert is in Christ because he was just baptized into him. I know that every single child of God on the planet who is a Christian, who has obeyed the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, is in Christ. But that's not the issue. The issue is, the question is, are you in Christ? If you're not in Christ, you don't want to remain outside Him. If you want to be saved, don't stay outside of Christ. If you'd like to claim eternal life, don't remain outside of Jesus Christ. Because all spiritual blessings are in Him. I'm going to go ahead and move along. For all I take Him, faith, F-A-I-T-H. But additionally, faith for all I take Him, forsaking all. That's the second one. Forsaking all, I take Him. There are some things you have to bid farewell to. There are some things you have to give up, turn them loose, let them go. There was a man once who obeyed the gospel at a tent meeting where the inevitable Marshall Keeble was doing the preaching. He was a married man, but he had a girlfriend on the side. And after he was baptized, he told Brother Keeble, said, "Brother Keeble, I've had a girlfriend. And I want to go by her house tonight after church and tell her I'm not coming back." Keeble looked at him. He said, "Son, if you don't go back, she'll know you ain't coming back." Keeble was saying, "You got to give her up. And you don't have to notify her. You have no obligation to inform her. Forsake her. Give her up. Turn her loose. Let her go." Now, Keeble knew that if he had got over there and she got her hooks hung in him again, she could have pulled him immediately away from the Lord. So he said, "Don't run that risk. Don't take that chance. You just don't go back. You don't owe her no explanation. Your obligation is to please the great God of glory and the Savior responsible for the remission of your sins. So you need to forsake all. Give up your bad habits. Give up your bad practices. Give up the spirit of indolence. Give up the spirit of unforgiveness. Give up the spirit of pride. Dispense with the spirit of envy and jealousy. Give up worry. Give up all of the negative things. Give up all of your sins." That's what is involved in repentance. In order to repent, one must change his or her mind and follow that with a change of ways. Your conduct changes. You stop cussing if you're accustomed to cussing. Marshall Keeble once said, "If you've been beating your wife, quit it. If your wife's been beating you, make her stop." No, really, you're just responsible for your own repentance, your own change of mind, your own change of ways, your own change of behavior. You're responsible for that. I'm going to close. If you are here, and you are not a Christian, you are not a member of that church about which we read in the pages of the New Testament. You need to be a part of it. You need to be a member of it. When Robert and Erica discovered the vital importance of the church for which Jesus died and with which he purchased with his own blood, they wanted to be members of it. They were not interested in being members of a man-made religious organization or a denominational organization founded by and headed by and guided by mere mortal men. They were interested in becoming a member of the New Testament church that we can read about in the pages of the Bible. Would you also become a part of that church? It's not a real difficult thing to do. It's not real complicated. It's not hard to understand. In Acts chapter 2, the very birthday of the church, Peter preached the inaugural sermon on that great day of Pentecost, bringing his lesson to a grand and climactic close. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, he said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter responded promptly, answering, "Repent! Repent! And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And he says, for the promise of remission of sins, the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise is unto you in this current audience, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words that he testified and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. God is in the adding business even today. In the early history of the church, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the people who had been baptized, who had been added to the church, who had had their sins remitted, who had received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Acts 2:47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. They were added to the church. Which church was that? Wasn't but one church in existence. That was the one that was coming into being, or had come into being on that very day, the church for which Jesus died. The church he purchased with his own blood. Just like he added those 3,000 to that church, he is still adding folk to that church. And he makes no mistakes. He's not going to add you to some man-made church. He's not going to add you to some denominational body. He's going to add you to his church. Don't you want to be a part of it? Don't you want to be added to the Lord's church? You can be. If you hear the same message that they heard on Pentecost, and Peter had earlier preached on that great day, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that Jesus died for your sins, died for my sins, for our sins, that he was buried in Joseph's new tomb, and that he arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day, and by such he was declared to be the Son of God with power. Romans 1 and verse number 4. Believe that good news of the gospel with all of your heart. Believe that Jesus, the Son of God, did die, was buried, was resurrected from the grave. That's the saving gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Believe that good news of the gospel. Repent of your sins. Change your mind about the way you've been acting, the way you've been behaving, the way you've been talking. That's what repentance is all about. This is not rocket science, but it does require faith and it does require obedience. It is a matter of HBO, hearing, believing, and obeying. Repentance, changing your mind and changing your behavior, changing your ways. That's a part of it. And then be willing to do what Robert and Erica did this morning, to confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's easy enough to understand, isn't it? And upon that confession of faith, do what they did also by being immersed in water for the remission of your sins. You can have a clean slate. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can go home a new creation today. You can go home a member of the family of God today. You can go home and let people know that I am now a member of the Church of Christ. And the Lord will make you a member of it. All you have to do is submit to the divine requirements. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to obey the gospel of Christ? Get your sins forgiven to be saved today. If you're here and you're already a part of the family of God, but you have strayed away, you have fallen from the faith, you have been guilty of trampling under unholy and callous feet the holy commandments of the Lord, you can rededicate your life today. You can renew your commitment today through repentance, confession, and prayer. The Lord is willing to forgive us if we are willing to comply with the conditions that the Lord imposes. We're going to ask you to take advantage of this opportunity and come now as we together stand.
Still have